Bucky's Auto Service Centers. I wonder if they're going to be open on Christmas. Probably not. When you've been around for 48 years, you know how to treat your staff and treat them right. And they also know how to treat your car right. At Bucky's Auto Service Centers, it's Bucky's for the hard-to-shop-for person on your list. Take them in there. Get yourself an oil change. Good stocking stuffers. All right. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing fine, Joe.
All right. Isn't today rehab day?
Yes, 4 o'clock.
All right. Take some video.
I should.
Seriously, we need some new stuff for the Facebook page, all right? All right, here we go. I forgot to dive in. Right. This is a sad story, and it's extremely rare, and it's causing a lot of people to go, gosh, I know somebody. My Aunt Mary uses a neti pot. A neti pot has been around for a long, long time, and it's you put water in it. You put some saline in there as well. That's salt. You might want to put a little baking soda in as well to sort of cut down sort of the irritant of the salt. And you pour it in one nasal passage, and then it pours out the other nasal passage. Some people have trouble with it because they almost feel like they're drowning, but you just sort of learn to close off and breathe only through your mouth. And it's apparently use it once a day or once a week if you feel yourself coming down with some sort of sinus infection. There are people that swear by this thing. Have you ever used one, Tom?
Boy, they sent one to, I don't know if they sent one, to, a bunch of them to Cairo or if I just got one in the mail. So I tried it and I never could get the hang of it. I always thought they just seemed so primitive and bizarre that they always made me uncomfortable. And now to think that this woman was using this and using that killed her is horrifying to me. How about you, John?
I have never used one, but I walk by them, and they always give me the oogie feeling when I see them at Bartels. I'm like,
yes,
put that thing up my nose and have water pour out. But I watched a bunch of videos of it, and it doesn't look to seem to be that bad. The one thing that kind of grossed me out, they said, make sure you replace yours as often as you can because bacteria will form inside the... Look at Ursula about to vomit.
I know.
There's got to be an easier way to clear out your sinuses.
I know.
Saying.
That's what I think.
Oh, really? Then the neti pot? All right. Well, here's a woman who's from Seattle.
There goes that sponsorship.
Here we go. This is a neurosurgeon, Charles Cobbs of Swedish Medical, who operated on the woman who was using a neti pot. He says,
we sent it to the pathologist, and he wanted a second opinion.
The pathologist needed to take a look at a brain tumor in the woman, and they wanted to find out because it was really unusual what they found inside the tissue.
Because it was unusual, so he sent it to Johns Hopkins, and the pathologist there called about 2 or 3 weeks later and said he suspected there was an amoeba infection, which is extraordinarily unusual.
Yeah, he says that figuring out how it happened?
Well, to the best of our understanding, she had had sinus issues for a year previously and had been given a neti pot, and she was using that to irrigate her sinuses. While she had been using a water purifier, it may have been not completely sterile. We believe that probably the water that was being used in her neti pot eventually somehow got infected with or had this amoeba in it, and it got into the nose, into the skin, and then after a long time disseminated through the bloodstream and got into the brain.
Good Lordy. How often does it happen?
Yeah, brain-eating infection. It's just, and it's so horrible because what she was trying to do was trying to make herself healthier, and it's that very effort at making herself healthier that she ended up getting this infection. They thought that it was a brain tumor. They did they operated on her brain, and they found this part, this clump that was so mushy, it didn't make any sense, and that's why they ended up sending it to the pathologist, and they found out that it was a tap water. And one of the things that I find alarming is that I use that thing, and I guess they say if you follow the directions, you need saline water or some kind of sterile water. I think they need to put in big, bright letters, do not use tap water. Do not use tap water because tap water could kill you. It's like if you think, well, it's sterile water. She ran it through a filter. She probably thought that was good enough. If that's not good enough, we need to know that we're taking our life in our hands.
Well, hold on, Tom. It doesn't happen that often.
It's exceedingly rare, and I never actually had seen an amoeba infection in the brain like this before. So I was certainly not expecting it when I did what seemed to be a routine brain tumor surgery. This is extraordinarily rare. I mean, we're talking about one out of 200 cases reported since the 1990s or 2000s.
The only thing I would think would be 200 of the number of people using neti pots. You think that's enough?
I know, but that seems like a lot of people.
Well, it says on there that boil the water, allow it to cool, and then, now, have you killed most of the stuff that's in that water at that point? Most likely, I would assume that amoeba wouldn't be able to stand up against the boiling temperatures.
I would just think that I would try to say, make sure, strictly follow these rules. If you use anything else, these are some of the dangers. You know how you have those ads on TV that says they're trying to sell you something and say, but now if you have, here are possible side effects, and they list them all. Mm-hmm. I just think that since I use a neti pot, and I probably follow the directions, but if it's something that could kill you, I get it's rare, and so it's not that big a concern. Mm-hmm. But still, if there's something that I could do to prevent that rarity from happening, which sounds like she could have, that's what's infuriating about it.
I think a cheaper way and disposable way is get an enema in the enema bag. You ever seen this? Tom, I used to sell medical supplies. It's a bag. It hangs on a hook above your head, and you just fill that up with the saline and stuff, and you get more water through it. You don't have to hold the pot, stick the part in your nose, and just have the rest pour out the other side of your nose. Just a cheaper, fun way to use an enema instead of a neti pot. All right?
I hope no one takes your medical advice. John is not a doctor, in case people are wondering.
I sold medical supplies to doctors. Kevin Hart.
Okay, hey, don't worry about videotaping my PT workout. You need to videotape that. I want you to use an enema bag.
I'll tell you what.
Your eyes.
Why don't we do this? You take video of your PT. Yeah. I'll take video of me giving my nose an enema, and we'll see who clicks on it more. All right?
Nobody on Monday. I can guarantee you right now, nobody's going to click on mine if they can look at you giving yourself a nose enema.
I'm doing a nose enema on Monday. What's Monday, by the way, Andrew? What is Monday? Monday is what?
It is
nose enema day.
10th.
Here we go. Kevin Hart.
It's time to apologize day.
I'll commit and do it at 10:30 on Monday. Okay, Jacob? And you help out with it.
10:30.
I need you to insert the tube. Here we go.
Oh, my
Kevin
God.
Hart. comedian agreed that he would host the Academy Awards, and you and I both thought it was a good idea. In fact, we went around the horn on it. We all thought, oh, he's got good, he's self-effacing humor, and he seems to be a good guy. He's black. He's not exactly the A-type star. He thought it would be a great vehicle for him because most people pass on this thing. And then today or last night, after the LGBT community went through a bunch of his tweets, they found a couple of things that they were offended by, and they wanted him to apologize. Is that how it worked, Tom?
Yes. And so he got an official notification from the Oscars that said that we would like you to apologize for these tweets and these comic bits that you've done in the past that they thought were homophobic. And so then he tweeted out, you know what, I'm not gonna apologize. I've talked about that, and I have in effect apologized in the past about that. There's a famous 2015 Rolling Stone interview, and he says, I'm not going to dredge all that up. I haven't done that since 2010 or 2011, and I am not going to give them an apology. And if that costs me the Oscars, so what?
Here's his stand-up. This is from Seriously Funny. This is he's talking about parenting. I guess this is the offending bit. Here we go.
I got a lot of fears, man. I got a lot of fears as a parent. I'm telling you guys one of my biggest fears. One of my biggest fears is my son growing up and being gay. That's a fear. Keep in mind, I'm not homophobic. I have nothing against gay people. Be happy. Do what you want to do. But me being a heterosexual male, if I can prevent my son from being gay, I will. Now, with that being said, I don't know if I handle my son's first gay moment correctly. Like, every kid has a gay moment, okay? Every kid. But when it happens, you got to nip it in the bud. You got to stop it right then. Hey, stop! That's gay. It's quick. No.
All right. He then goes on. Hold on.
I don't know if I handle my son's situation right, okay? He's at a birthday party, right? My son had a birthday party. He's playing. You know when kids play, they just play. You don't know what they're doing, but they're having a good time. They're just doing a bunch of stuff, right? I'm moving around. I said, okay, he's good. I finished talking. I turned back around to check on my son again. A little boy was grinding on my son's ass. He was like this. I didn't know what to do. I panicked. I knocked them both down. Hey, what's going on here? What kind of party is this? Huh? What kind of party is this?
All right. Comedian doing jokes and offended some people. This is how Hart originally responded to the controversy.
I swear, man, our world is becoming beyond crazy. And I'm not going to let the craziness frustrate me or anger me, especially when I worked hard to get to the mental space that I am at now. My team calls me, oh my God, Kevin, the world is upset about tweets you did years ago. Oh my God. Guys, I'm almost 40 years old. If you don't believe that people change, grow, evolve as they get older, I don't know what to tell you. If you want to hold people in a position where they always have to justify or explain their past, then do you. I'm the wrong guy, man. I'm in a great place, a great mature place, where all I do is spread positivity. If you're not doing that, you're not on my page.
Mm. Then he responded again. So he sends that out and does this.
I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on and find another host. I'm talking about the tweets from 2009, 2010. I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times. This is not the first time this has come up. I've addressed it. I've spoken on it. I've said where the rights and wrongs were. I've said who I am now versus who I was then. I've done it. I've done it. I'm not going to continue to go back and tap into the days of old when I moved on and I'm in a completely different space in my life. The same energy that went into finding those old tweets could be the same energy put into finding the response
good for him
to the questions that have been asked years after years after years.
Good.
We feed in the internet trolls and we reward them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it, man. I'm going to be me. I'm going to stay on my ground. Regardless, Academy, I'm thankful and appreciative of the opportunity. If it goes away, no harm, no foul.
There you go. Good for him.
Now, wait a minute, though. I think you flipped those. I think the second one came before the first one that you played. And what's weird about this, I think if he had said what he said in that in the first one that we played, but was the second one that he had done, uh-huh, that would have been fine. That's all the Oscars wanted. The weird thing is he starts off saying, I'm going to refuse to apologize, and I'm choosing to step down. But then when he said he was choosing to step down, here's his quote from his tweet. This is because I do not want to be a distraction on a night that should be celebrated by so many amazing, talented artists. I sincerely apologize to the LGBTQ community for my insensitive words from my past. That was all. If he had just said that from the get-go, it would have been fine. And it also shows that he is disavowing what the jokes that he was making, you know, 7-8 years ago by acknowledging, he says, I'm different. I would never make those jokes now. I'm maturing as an individual. I think that would have been fine. I don't understand why he takes this real strong sense, screw you, I'm not going to apologize, and then he ends up apologizing in a very, you know, smart way.
Well, I don't know what the order was. What is the order? So the first one came out and he sent another one out.
So the
right?
first one, he's in the bed. The order that we played them is actually the correct order that came out.
Okay.
But I think Tom's correct. Yeah, after all of that, he did offer the apology as he stepped down, which I do think is great.
Okay, there. Yeah. But what his point is that you go out, you hide, find this stuff. I apologized before. Do you need me to apologize again? It's the victim mentality and the victim culture that we have. This people are going to go back to 2009. Or that comedy bit, was that 2000? Was this seriously funny? Was it 2000 he did these jokes or 2000?
2010.
2010.
Okay, 2010.
Yeah. So 8 years ago he does, and he says, I don't do that kind of comedy anymore. I already apologized for it again. Good for him. Don't host
the thing. But the point is, John, I think that he could have had his cake and eaten it too. Because the idea of why did it come back in the news? Because as he acknowledged, being an Oscar host is above and beyond anything that he has done. Mm-hmm. Not that he hasn't had sellout crowds and he's the most popular comedian, you know, on tour. The idea is this is like another level. And so there are a lot of people that may not know who Kevin Hart is that follow the Oscars. And so the Oscars just said, listen, because this has come up, can you just in effect say what you end up saying about, I'm not that person anymore. I wouldn't make those jokes. I apologize for my insensitive words. And he wouldn't do it. It seems to me he could be hosting the Oscar show and look like he's, you know, cool with the LGBT community and without sort of, I don't know, being swallowed up by what he calls trolls.
Yeah, well, he could also have other trolls that want their feelings to go above everything else and to want people to bow down to their feelings. He could find other trolls that would come after him for other things that he might have said that people would be offended by, and now he's apologizing for that. So
well, it doesn't sound like
I don't know. Maybe there's stuff in there that somebody else decides to go after him for. Either way, congratulations to people that wanted him out. He decides to bail on it. Now he gets somebody else to come in there and host. And we got to find a comedian that's never said anything that's ever offended anyone that's in a protected class.
You just need a Kevin Hart to apologize or say, yeah, those jokes. Most comedians do that all the time. Yeah. 10 years ago, things were said, 20 years ago, things were said that wouldn't probably be said now. Mm-hmm. It's a different time, and he acknowledges that. He also says, listen, I'm almost 40. I've matured in my sophistication, and we'll go for that. Bill Cosby was huge 30 years ago. Now he's pariah. You can think people change, context change.
I got it. Tom, let's talk about Luxembourg real fast. The fact that they are the first country in the world, the civilized world, to decide that this will be free and anybody who wants to can just enjoy it.
All forms of transportation, and by all forms, that includes trains, but any kind of public transportation, any kind of buses or trams or subways. I don't think there's a subway in Luxembourg, but trains. There are only 600,000 people in all of Luxembourg, the country, but something like 200,000 of them 200,000 people from outside, from Germany. It's a real teeny country surrounded by Germany and France and Switzerland. Mm-hmm. There are 200,000 commuters that come into their country and into their individual city. It is one of the most traffic-jammed cities in all of the world because so many people come to that one little city. It's basically a bunch of farmland and then Luxembourg City.
Yeah.
And they've decided we can just make this much more manageable for everybody if we just let everybody take whatever transportation they can get around with. That'll relieve congestion. And I'm so proud of this because I am 1/8 Luxembourgian. And you know how long it takes for us to talk about Luxembourg in the news? I think it's the first time in 24 years at Cairo I've been able to do that.
Well, I hope your 1/8 is happy. This will be an interesting experiment to see what happens in Luxembourg. We'll have to be following this story carefully for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't have time for this quick Uber story, do we?
I don't think. Yeah. Let's save it.
I'll save it, Tom. I saw this article in the Wall Street Journal. I'll tease it for you. They were talking to Uber drivers that said, what is the worst part about being an Uber driver? They said it's the shared carpooling. And then they asked these guys, what's the worst situation you've ever had? So you get into a car with another person who you do not know, and they don't get along, and the Uber driver has to decide, do I want to be referee or just remain totally quiet while these two people scream at each other, one in the front seat and one in the back seat, and an absolute nightmare story that makes for great radio. We'll tell you about that. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff coming up as well right after this. Online Trading Academy text line 98973, 98973. Good way to get in touch with us. You also come through the other door, the MyNorthwest.com door, or our Facebook page is always there for you as well. By the way, Muckleshoot Bingos, we're going to bring you the know-it-all quiz starting at 11:34. We'll give you the phone number at 11 o'clock. Get on the phone to get on the air. Win fabulous prizes, including Michael Bublé, who's coming to the Tacoma Dome on April 6th. We also have 6 tickets to the Seattle Juniors 12 Club, Tom. It's the annual holiday party on the 22nd of December at CenturyLink Field. That's for kids 5 to 12. Ring in the holidays with Blitz, Boom, and the Seagulls. Oh, and by the way, there is a petting zoo.
What?
Well, I always think it's weird that the petting zoo is right next to the Seagulls. I don't think that's a good idea. By the way, Ursula, did you get caught up in the excitement of seeing all the Cracker Jack boxes that were on the table? Did you hear about this?
I saw them.
Okay.
I didn't get that excited, but
happened.
I saw them. What happened?
Don from the Ron and Don Show had a whole box of toys and gifts and Cracker Jacks that he was going to give away to a bunch of kids, because that's what Don does. Things bigger than himself.
I know, which is so sweet.
Right. Somebody saw the box, thought, oh, there's some free crap for all of us, and put it on the table, not realizing it was supposed to go to kids, and people ate it all.
Not only did they eat it all, but everyone took the little...
They took the toys, they took the hats, they took the Cracker Jacks, everything was just wiped out.
I still don't understand how that box ended up on... If something's on the newsroom table, as you know, it is gone in an instant.
Yes, yeah. It's like the Serengeti. You're like an antelope with a bad ankle at a watering hole. You're gone. I mean, it... So I got to tell you, I was guilty. I was like, Cracker Jacks? That's a fun treat. We ate two boxes.
No!
Sorry, kids. Well, Wherever you are.
One of the boxes was just full of dodgeball supplies, and what I don't understand, it's only adults that work here, but if the dodgeball box was also gone, people took home, I suppose, dodgeballs? It didn't make any sense
to
me.
Christmas is coming. It's like, well, one less gift.
Right. There was a box of shoes, and they were all under the size of, all under five, size five. I took them all. Why not?
No. My favorite story about the newsroom table is one time there was like plastic grass on the table. Uh-huh. Someone tried to eat it.
Right, I remember that. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. Did you partake in taking anything that was supposed to go to poor kids?
I was playing around with the purple dodgeball.
Yeah.
So I had it on my desk. When I saw the email go out, I said, "Oh, there is a dodgeball on my desk."
Oh my! See that? See, that you just can't put stuff out on the table. You also can't ask the public.
What was your Cracker Jack prize, John?
Something crappy. It was a tattoo, and I gave it to Rachel Bell. And then the other one was another tattoo. Yeah, and here's the other thing. Guess how many candy-covered peanuts I found in the boxes? Combined.
There's usually too many peanuts.
Six combined. I'm in it for the... I want the candy-covered peanuts. Give me that all day long, Tom.
Wow.
Cover my peanuts with candy. That's what I want. Here we go. When you ask the people who should be time person, man or woman or thing of the year, this is the problem when you ask readers to do a poll. Of course, we had done stories. We liked the fact that in England they had a boat that was supposed to go out and do scientific exploration, and they asked the general public, "What would you like to name the boat?" And people responded on the poll. And what did they? And what did they want to name the boat? What won, Tom?
Bodie McBoatface.
We love that story. The people said, "We appreciate very much that you've named it Bodie McBoatface, but this is a serious scientific endeavor. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give it a different name, but we'll still include Bodie McBoatface, I think, on a separate boat that maybe the other one carried to make people feel better."
Yeah, it was
like the
dinghy or something.
The dinghy was Bodie McBoatface. So a poll put out by Time. Tell us who do you think man, woman, or thing of the year should be. And that everybody got a chance to respond to it. And here comes your winner. You ready? Yes, K-pop sensation BTS wins Time Person of the Year. Good job, everybody. Way to submarine Time Magazine. What is Time's response to this, Tom?
Well, I don't see. I mean, I don't think they're responding to it. It's brilliant marketing on Time's part. Time Magazine, like most magazines, they're irrelevant, but they still have the Person of the Year, Man of the Year award that gives them some press. And so I think it's brilliant to have an online poll for the Times Person of the Year. It's not who they decide, but again, we're giving it 2 days worth of coverage because we'll also cover it when they mention, who they choose as well. And I think what's interesting is, do you understand what number two is?
What's number two?
Planet Earth. Now, does that mean the series, like the series of documentaries, or do they literally mean Planet Earth? Coming in at number one, Planet Earth, Person of the Year.
I don't know, but you got to be careful when you ask the public in order to make a decision on something, because you get enough people that push it, they don't care, or enough people vote, like PTS. I would say, and we talked about this in the pre-show meeting, that when it comes to the name of the new hockey team, I think that they would probably like to have the public input, because it's almost the same way the Sounders really tried to include ticket holders as owners and get that sense of belonging and community and everything else. But if they did something like that, there would be enough jokers that would get that thing going that the name of the team would be absolutely ridiculous.
I think the key is to do, I think what the zoo did when they were naming, I don't know if it was an elephant or something, they had people send in their recommendations, and then they would choose from it, and whoever had sent in the winning entry, you know, got heralded. So that way you don't have, it's not like a mass call. You don't have 10,000 people voting for Bodie McBoatface. Instead, you have 10,000 people sending in their individual offerings. Then they get to select it. That's what I think the hockey team ought to do.
Oh, okay. Ask everybody, send in your suggestions, and then the committee would then choose
the one they pick.
I see.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that will not be as much fun.
So, but no. By the way, I do like their third. You know who came in third on this readers poll? I think now they're talking. The Thai cave divers.
Mm. Oh wow!
Now that's pretty good. I hadn't even thought of that. That's sort of like an earlier in the year story. But and then the other top finishers, the South Korean president, because he's doing so much to kind of bridge the gap between North and South Korea. Undocumented children, Michelle Obama, and then MBS. The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, wow.
For the downside.
I got it.
Pretty interesting, though.
We did this. We wanted to name one of our seaplanes on Evening Magazine. We put it out to people, and the number one response that we got, most people sent the thing in. It had to be, this is before the internet that people could push it. Number one was Maggie, because we're Evening Magazine named the plane Maggie. And you know what number three was?
Curly.
No, Winged Coffin.
Oh,
like, yeah, we're going to write that like on the side of the plane.
You're right.
Oh, my God. Woo!
That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Funny for you.
Yeah.
We're calling an audible. We're going to do the story about the Uber driver that says the worst part about Uber driving is when you have to do a carpool with two people in the car. So the one woman's in the back seat, another woman in the front seat. Lady in the front seat's got the radio playing. The Uber driver's okay with that. The lady in the back seat says, please turn that down. And the woman in the front seat refuses. What the woman does in the back seat, it turns into crazy pandemonium. And a great story. We'll try to reenact it for you. We come right back. All right, fun article in the Wall Street Journal today regarding Uber and the number of people that do carpooling. They said that, you know, carpool started, I don't know how many years ago. They said there's certain unwritten rules when it comes to true carpooling. When I lived in Washington, D.C., they had this thing called the slug line. You would go to a public parking lot, like a big Home Depot. You'd park your car off to the side somewhere. Home Depot was okay with it. And people would leave their car, and then you'd stand there in line, and people would drive up and say, 1400 Wisconsin, and you'd be like, I'll go there, and then people would get in the car. The rules were no talking, no eating, no radio. You were not allowed to adjust the air conditioner or the heat. You were not allowed to put the windows down unless you asked prior, but the driver's responsibility was that the car was comfortable, not too hot and not too cold. That was the rule, and there was no way that you could amend any one of those rules. Everybody knew it, that you weren't allowed to do it. So I wanted to show that certain people are so desperate for some of to get a slug, this is to get a second person in the car so you could drive HOV, that there were some places in Washington, D.C. that people didn't want to go because it was just slightly out of the way. So I went there, Tom, with a box that said, danger, live deadly snakes, and it looked official. And I'm standing there in line. The guy pulls up and goes, you know, 11 Pennsylvania. And I went, there's nobody. And no one's going there. And I said, I'm going there. And the guy goes, great. Can those things be in the trunk? I said, no, they're cold-blooded. They need to sit on my lap for the warmth of my legs, plus also the heat of your car. And the guy says, is the box secure? I said, I've lost one on the way in, and he still let me get in the car. And then we put that one away. I stood there again. I had a puppy with me, and I explained that the puppy couldn't stay home because the puppy had eaten something, and it has really bad explosive diarrhea, and I don't want to leave it in the car. And the person let me take it in. And the last one was this. I had a can of paint that had poked a hole in it, and it was leaking. And I had the can of paint, and I asked the guy, and I dressed up like I was a painter. And the guy says to me, can you put that in a bag or in the trunk? I said, no, have to keep it on my lap because it's cold-blooded and it needs to stay. The guy's like, what? The can of paint was the only one that didn't allow me to be able to carpool. All right, so here we go. We got a carpool. It's an Uber guy, and he's in the front seat, and the one woman in the front seat next to him has got the radio playing a little bit. Lady in the back seat says, hey, could you please turn that down? And the woman says, no. She turns it up a little bit and starts to sing. Okay, so she's singing. Yeah. Well, the lady in the back seat at that point goes, oh, really? So then she pulls up on her phone her song. So now the two of them are singing two completely different songs at the top of their lungs, screaming in the car while the poor Uber driver that has picked these guys up in this pool drive has to continue to just keep driving along. The driver was asked, what'd you try to do? He says, I was going to try to separate the two of them or ask them to be quiet or try to calm down, but I figured there's no way I could stop them. He says, it was a hell ride of 7 minutes of two people singing two separate songs as poorly as they possibly could.
There's another instance where it was a 30-minute morning commute in New York, and there were two people in the car, and one person was really loud and obnoxious. No, in fact, there were three people in the car, and they were like freestyle rapping to this backbeat through the entire. Says, "Oh my God!" For 30 minutes, it was like this a commute. And so what a hassle it is. And then to add insult to injury for the Uber driver, oftentimes when these kinds of clashes happen, when they get out of the car, they give the driver a bad rating because they had such an unhappy experience in the car that had nothing to do with the Uber driving,
right?
Which is really tough.
They say that you can't rate the other driver. All you do is get that person's name comes up when, but
passenger,
passenger. But it disappears once you get out of the car, so you're not able to rate them. Here's what it would sound like: a two people horrible singer singing at the exact same time in a car.
I've got the guy. I'm singing baby.
Wow, your eye isn't as bad as mine. There we go. By the way, Uber still continues to do the pool thing. They say the drivers also hate it, not only for that reason, but because you don't make as much money because it's discounted. And most of the time when you say that you want an Uber pool, they don't bother picking up anybody, so you end up saving money that way.
One of the other problems, though, is they say that so many people are unhappy with this, they don't even bother taking Uber or Lyft anymore. So maybe they ought to add the rules of the road like you had for your
slug
commute.
Line. Yeah, slug line in D.C. We'll come right back. Tom and Curly, Cairo Radio.